Time to get off the rails Friday in full gear.
Yes.
On this Friday. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, David Sis, Boom Ba. You okay over there,
yeah,
Sammy?
Yeah. All good.
Sorry. We're good. We're good. Thanks for joining us on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. And remember, don't just worry about catching us live. You can download us at any time, wherever you get your favorite pods.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, on this day, Texas 590, 590, Sammy's going to be reading them today.
Mm-hmm.
We say that all week, but especially today, as we go into this very special weekend.
Can we not? We just have to talk about your jacket before the show starts.
Yeah, I'm going big, boys.
Look at this.
Huge weekend here. Okay, we've got...
It's the jacket!
We've got, of course, Kentucky Derby.
Ooh, is it Derby weekend?
Yes, it is.
Oh, great.
We've got Game 7 Saturday night.
Ooh, buddy.
And we got Greek Easter.
Oh, Greek Easter.
Greek Easter.
Are you hiding the eggs? Look at that coat.
This is Greek Easter jacket.
Yeah, that's okay. Very nice.
And don't dare ask me why our Easter is like a month after yours, because I'll give you the same answer I've been giving everybody over my lifetime.
Okay.
I don't have time to explain 8th century history to you.
No, you don't owe them that, or you're not. Wait, it's not your job.
Then I walk away looking really busy and important.
That's right. Good. Well, happy Greek Easter to you and yours.
You told me you were going
to... Mom, I know she was watching.
Thank you. You told me you're bailing on the...
On what?
On a jacket.
No, I'm back. Kipper, listen. You do a lot for me.
People
do a lot for this show.
People keep asking if I'm back. But now, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
I mean... I put on a jacket because you wanted me to. So there you go.
Attaboy.
I'm not going to do a tie because I didn't win when I had a tie. So I got this sloppy whatever that's going on up here. But I got the jacket on. And
McKee, your tweet, hello, we're back department. I'd like to file a claim is always
back.
A funny one.
Hey, what a week.
Start of the week till now. I mean, what a swing. What an emotional swing for our boy here.
I've been through the ringer. And, you know, I don't really know how to feel. I loved that game last night. I loved that win. I just can't believe it was back to game 7.
We'll try our best to give everyone a sense of where you are in the next hour on our Leaf edition of The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Gord Stellick will join us in about 30 minutes. Toronto Maple Leaf analyst, former general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs and one of our favorites here. And then Fridays just wouldn't be Fridays without Doug McLean at the top of the hour. And we'll get his thoughts on this topsy-turvy series between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins, who are in full role reversal. The frustrations, the bad penalties that belong to the Toronto Maple Leafs has now swung towards the Boston Bruins.
My God! Okay, it's happening!
Ready for Saturday night.
Yeah.
Even Derek's excited with these drops.
Derek's horned up.
Oh my gosh, is he ever.
Love it.
But just give us a sense of a small victory in itself was that the Leafs got a home win last night to extend this.
Yeah, I mean, small victory there, but obviously a big victory in the big picture and really almost the exact opposite of a way that you would anticipate the Leafs getting such a momentous win. You know, they don't get some superstar performance where they get, you know, score 7 goals and their top guys blow it up or run and gun. I mean, they just defended well. Their depth guys look great. Their goaltender made saves. They stayed patient, which we've talked about. They haven't done at home. And boy, Boston looks frustrated. And I think that's a big part of this story too.
Listen, I really, really am fascinated. And I know we're going to get into tomorrow night and we'll talk about the game last night, but I think tomorrow night is going to be one of the more telling games for the direction of two different franchises in the first round that I can ever remember. Mm-hmm. Just think about what's at stake for both of these franchises in that game tomorrow night. Like, I can't imagine a higher stake. There's game 7s in the first round all the time, every year. And there could be another one with the Stars. There could be another one with Vancouver and the Preds. But could you ever think of a higher stakes Game 7 in the first round than the Leafs and Bruins tomorrow night?
I do want to get in a big picture for sure going into Game 7, and we will. Yeah. But just to your point that you made moments ago, that when you think about other sports and the ability for players to rise, the stars, the best have to be at their best for sure. But we are one sport where all those stars, and I include McDavid and McKinnon, play a third of the game where they can make a difference while others can be there all
can't
the time.
Can't give the ball to LeBron and say, go do it.
And especially in this series for the Toronto Maple Leafs now, it is from top to bottom, they're the importance of every single one of them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you would, and we saw it from Willie, and you know, it's there's mixed reviews on what you really saw out of Willie Nylander last night.
Yeah.
But undeniable is that he is a game breaker, and those guys every once in a while find a way to make a difference.
Yeah.
But this is a real meat and potatoes series, and it's not necessarily just constantly waiting for one of those game breakers here. And I don't anticipate it to change in Game 7.
It's funny, actually. You know, we all came out of last year's postseason being like, Willie Nylander is the guy among the stars who shows up in these moments. You know, he's always the guy who's the same player. But I look back my time hop a year ago, the things I was tweeting about 1 year ago, and it was Willie Nylander not covering a guy, you know, like bad effort and a long shift and didn't change. And, you know, there was moments where it was like, God, this guy plays it like the regular season. And he ends up scoring some goals and having a good playoff and all that. But the point is, Willie doesn't change. He's still, like last night, to your point, I'm getting texts about this guy's a dog. He thinks it's a regular season. But he shoots two in the net. It's a very Willie Nylander.
But un-Willie Nylanders, I saw him hit a few people last night, and he had one of the biggest hits I've ever seen him have before.
I know.
Yeah, along and, the boards.
Yeah, along the boards.
He got somebody good.
He got somebody really good. Yeah. And I'm like, that's though the difference.
Yeah.
Right? That sense of urgency that everybody else is hitting. And I'll throw John Tavares in the mix here. Like, I don't know how many Leaf fans would have woken up today and said that I knew for sure John Tavares led all Leaf forwards in hits.
Yeah. He ran into everyone he could. He's trying.
That's not the John Tavares we knew in the island.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the John Tavares we've seen in the first five seasons here.
But he's finding a way to do something different if he's not going to shoot it in the net. I think Willie had three hits last night, which sounds like a low total. He threw 32 all season.
Yeah.
So, you know, three in a game is a big number for Willie for the way he plays.
And just to go to the sort of the clutch stuff with Willie, Sportsnet Stats put this tweet out today that the most goals when facing elimination in Leafs history, number one is Wendell Clark with 10. It's a good number. Daryl Sittler, 8. Lane McDonald, 8. Dave Keon, 7. William Nylander, 7.
He's up to 7.
I mean, that's when you look at these stars and you talk about the underperforming, it's like we always kind of couch it with Willie scores big goals.
But, you know,
he does.
It's I don't think in for a lot of mainstream followers that they really truly understand this year or this time of the year that the little details that can make the difference. I know we're in that, come on, goose eggs on the stat sheet, no good, right? Mm-hmm. And listen, Marner has not produced like he'd like to, but he's also been out there most often than not against Brad Marchand.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't exactly seen Marchand lighting it up either. So, you know, if Mitch Marner ends up scoring 3 points, but Marchand ends up with 4 or 5 and they lose the game, then it's useless. But if, you know, if Mitch Marner can hold Marchand and they can cancel each other out, that's where you need others to make a difference.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, there'll be a few people that rip Tavares or Mitch or anyone else for not producing points. But like the bottom line is here is you win the game first before you look at any individual. Like, I don't know how you can't look at that whole team's performance last night and say success for everybody.
Yeah. No, it's a team effort. And, you know, one of the greater takeaways is I think a big success for Sheldon Keefe. Because if you said to a lot of people, hey, you know, you're going to go play the Boston Bruins, who's the second best defensive team in the NHL, You're going to be without Matthews for half the series, without Nylander for half the series. Marner's going to have a couple of points or 3 points in the series through six games, you know, and you're going to win games. You know, you're going to win a game last night where everything has to go right. I think the coaching deserves some love for managing a game to that point. And now you hear Jim Montgomery talking and he sounds frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, that's a nice flip for them.
I do, you know, a lot of coaching is X's and O's and they're clearly drilled in, but I mean, the word that he kept saying or stay with it. And the last two games that the Leafs played, game five in Boston, game six in Toronto last night, it's the hardest I've ever remembered this team playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like just all out effort, every shift. Bertuzzi talked about how tired he was after the game because of how hard they're playing. Like they are grinding hard on every single shift, controlling the play, frustrating the Bruins. I can't remember them playing this hard ever.
I did a hit with Sports Central last night, and it was either Tim or I did a couple. So either Tim
look
or Ivanka, I mentioned that like this is a look that we've not seen in a very long time. And I know that I've mentioned to you countless times, like try to win a game 2-1, and you're like you shrugged me off
100%. Yeah,
and I'm like, so did I. 100%.
I'm like, this is what playoffs are about.
Yeah.
It's not about running up points. It's not about looking at totals. I know we're in that.
Well, you're getting away from this.
I'm not
about individual stuff a bit much for me.
2-1 scores.
Yeah.
Win.
That's fine.
Series.
Yeah.
And that's the look that you need.
It's the look you need
and
when your scorers don't play.
We have not seen that.
No, we haven't.
No. It's not because of the scores. It's because of the ask from Sheldon. Okay, this is the first time he's demanded that our first priority is to keep the puck out of the net and not go and score you don't see Willie cheating. You don't. They're back. They got away with a ton over the last few years. And now with their lifeline in the balance, now he's asking and now they're giving.
You think he wasn't asking before?
No,
you think before
like
he was going go?
No, he wasn't going go. He just didn't hold them accountable enough.
I don't know about that.
He did not.
I don't know.
The ask is different.
One narrative tweak that I think you're pushing that is going to be bothersome is, you know, Marner having a goal and two assists in six games. Tavares having, a goal and an assist, maybe whatever. You have to win 2-1 when you don't get production there. Those other guys, McKinnon and McDavid and the guys you want to be in that class with, they're doing it even though the other team's saying that's our guy. And I know Mitch's line has been tasked with heavy defensive responsibility.
But they're different players. They're different players.
They can go
through you. We told you this.
Yes.
The Leaf guys cannot go through you. They want to go around you.
Yes.
And that's
a problem.
That's a problem.
Yeah, I know, but they've done a great job with it. But everyone's going, he's done a great job in a shutdown role. Well, why are we not giving Pasternak credit for shutting down a guy who gets as many points as him? You tell me all the time, Marner has top 5 points in the last 5 years or whatever.
Yeah.
So maybe Past is the guy playing great defense, and he deserves some accolades. Like, you need your top guys to produce, which is why you're relying on, you know, Yarncroc and Knies to be awesome.
Yeah.
Which they've been awesome. The Leafs' depth has been better than the Bruins' depth, and that's where they had the advantage in the series.
Yeah, it's well said.
Yeah.
It's very, very... You guys are on fire. I got nothing to add to that.
No. I just... I watch the lanes. I watch the lanes blocked. I watch them in position. I watch them be on the right side of the puck. And it's just not any consistency of what we've seen in the past from them.
Yeah.
And I just think it's that, hey... If we don't do this now, our season's over, and we're in deeper doo-doo than we've ever been as an organization, and people are going to lose their jobs, and guys are going to get moved, and this was that defying moment where we have to play defense, and I'm seeing it for the first time in a very long time.
And to your point, Mike Kelly had some stats about how this is the first year in the postseason. The Leafs have like a... over 60% dump-in rate. So they're getting, you know, Bieksa came in here and said they need to go forward when there's no numbers. They just need to get it in.
How many times are you like they killed plays by getting the puck out?
Yeah. Like even Bertuzzi's diving just to get pucks across the room. Blue. You're getting efforts from guys that are sincerely paying attention to the little things like within 10 feet of the blue line. And that's something we haven't got from them.
Okay, let's go to Sheldon Keefe on how his Toronto Maple Leafs saved game six and forcing a game seven.
The guys have competed and worked incredibly hard. They've pulled together. They fought, you know, and didn't lay down. They didn't accept their fate. They changed it. So, they've been tremendous in terms of their work ethic and even tonight. I mean, we don't play a perfect game by any means, but guys worked. You know, that first period, you give up one shot, and again, not a perfect period. They had some looks, but the way that we defended. To deny anything clean getting to our net was tremendous.
You got to go through two or three guys. The pucks, like, when you're throwing pucks from 40, 50 feet out, you hope one of them can get through. That was the difference in the hockey game last night one, what do you call them, seeing eye singles?
Yeah.
I think the Leafs blocked 27 shots last night or some sort of insane number. Like, they were in the way of everything. I got to tell you, I love Joel Edmondson. You know, on the back end, he just has he's so poised and blocks everything.
It was that one, and the calls were going the Leaf ways, no question about that. Yeah. And then Boston got their power play, and you sent a message last night that...
Would you like me to say what I said?
Sure.
I said, here comes the first of two power play goals in a 2-1 Bruins win. That's what I said.
That's the sort of darkness we get in our group
experience
chat.
Experience speaking right there.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said.
Right? But Edmondson had different ideas on that penalty kill.
That was an awesome kill. That was the best their penalty kills looked in forever.
And just seeing guys, the offensive players like Pasternak on that team, like, he had a good chance. I forget what period it was in, but Benoit just kept going and grinding him out into the boards, into dust.
Right behind the net.
Yes. And it's just like, God, he's not having fun. Everyone is finishing their check on him.
The first 15 seconds of the third period, he couldn't carry it through the neutral zone in a bucket. Like, it was chopped
up. He's just rattled?
Sick of getting hit.
Yeah.
I mean, I mentioned this last night, but how many times have you been hit this series?
Yeah. I mean, I think statistically it's fairly balanced, but no time and space when the Leafs are finishing everything for him. And I just think that, they're worrying a little bit too much on being hit, or at least trying to get a hit in, and it's completely taken away their offense.
Yeah. And then, you know, the Leafs, bottom of their lineup compared to past playoff runs, like, they're able to get shifts from the bottom guys that are in the offensive zone. They had the Dewar line had an ozone shift with 7 or 8 minutes left last night.
I thought that was a good move. It didn't affect
Gregor.
Gregor, yes.
Yeah,
he's fresh.
Yeah.
He's got wheels. He'll finish a check. As long as you replace something with something that can
he
look
can give
the
you
same,
pop,
feel
right?
the
like,
same.
Took guys on their heels. And
nobody's fighting it. So I didn't think the Leafs missed out anything there on the change.
He'll play game seven, eh?
That's it. The one of our favorite Twitter accounts, the Oak Leafs, put out the hits leaders, like for teams in the playoffs. The Leafs have the most hits, 315. Boston Bruins second, 304. Tampa Bay Lightning, 281. Florida Panthers, 262. So he said that the Atlantic is a you-know-what yard sale.
Yeah.
It's like, it's hard hitting hockey. Like, I can't remember watching the Leafs play in such a physical series. And they're like, how many times has Pasternak gotten smoked in this series? It's got to be close to 10. It's crazy how hard they're hitting them.
It's going both ways too, because last night Kampf got smoked and that would have been an easy he's done for the rest of the game. Last year it was Gudas that got him.
Yeah.
This year he stays in there.
He hung in there. That was an eye-watering nose might be broken.
It was a good sign for Kampf and the Leafs that I can take it. I'm dishing it out, but I can take it too. And last man standing.
We have a couple of clips from Montgomery, one on Marchand and Pasta and one on Pasta. Are either those a good time for those? Or
Listen, if you're listening to this, you're probably a Leaf fan. Any of these Montgomery clips are music to your ears. So
let's start with that one on their stars then, on clip four, Marchand and Pasta.
I wonder who clipped them.
Yeah. I got five today.
Your best players need to be your best players this time of year. I think the effort is tremendous. They need to come through with some big-time plays and big-time moments. I think Marchand has done that in the series. Pasta needs to step up.
Wow. Wow. Pasta needs to step up. Yeah. Imagine if that was
It's interesting that the bad start by the Leafs in this series didn't get that same sense of frustration out of Sheldon. He played it a little differently. Mm-hmm. And now Montgomery is now in a situation where he's like, maybe it's just the fact that you can't, there's no time to recover here, right? So,
but this is what makes me feel like last year still exists to him. You know, like maybe, I don't know what his sound bites would have been like last year if he was this frustrated,
yeah.
But he seems angry about the way they're playing right now. And I don't know if it's the right time for that.
To your point, there's no question he's feeling it.
Mm.
And I don't think it's a stretch for me to tell you that Saturday night, one coach is getting fired. And
it's a death match.
We don't know which one.
You think so, eh?
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean, when I, off the top, was talking about the pressure of this game.
Yeah.
You can't blow 2-3-1 leads.
No, I don't. Hey, especially if you're the Boston Bruins.
To the Leafs?
To the Leafs.
Not.
They can't
I don't see.
Down.
That's an unspeakable offense in Boston. Like,
do not see Montgomery dodging that one.
Yeah.
If they lose Saturday night.
I got a text from my buddy. He's a big Bruins fan. I grew up in Boston. He just said three words. Bruins are soft. You know, like that's the perspective of their team from the fans right now, is that they just seem like they don't have the usual
One of my buddies sent me in the one of our group chats, like the Bruins subreddit,
yeah,
and said enjoy, like just to read through all. They're down bad. Yeah. Like I'm like, it's like I've said a million times. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
I recognize that feeling. I had it on Monday. Yeah. I know the feeling, and they're there now.
Yeah.
It's flipped. So,
do you recall any other series where both coaches were vulnerable for one game?
It is fun. It's very WWE. Like, we're entering into the ice, whatever you want to call it.
Bill Simmons is the best. It's the loser leaves town match.
Yeah, exactly what it is.
It really
is
that. Bill Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a loser leaves town match.
It 100% is.
It really is.
All right, where do you guys want to go from here? You want to go Joseph Woll? You want to go Matt Nyes?
Great question, but you have to do Woll, I think. As much as I want to talk Nyes because I know more about that area of the game, I think we got to talk Woll.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have you have any clips on Woll?
Yeah, we got a clip 3 on Joel Woll, Derek.
Well, obviously, like, you know, he hasn't made any mistakes, you know. So because of that, we've stayed in games, right? Scores haven't gone in. There's nothing that's gone in that shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. So it's given a group confidence, and you need that right now, you know. Like, we're again, tonight, it's such a tight game. It's such a tight game in game 5. You know, you're facing elimination. If you make some mistakes there, like, it's, you know, it's curtains. So, yeah, it's given the group confidence. It's been tremendous to see. You know, 2 shots in the first game in the first period that he played, and then 1 shot here tonight. The guys are also competing for him, giving him every opportunity to find his way in the series, and then he's rewarding them, you know, when there are breakdowns. He's been great. So.
It cannot be easy just sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting.
Do you want something that's totally unprovable, but the way I truly feel?
Yes, of course I do.
He starts from game 1. We're talking about the second round matchup with the Florida Panthers already.
You think so?
Yeah, I said that earlier, but
yeah,
I mean, after watching him last night, he is so good.
Yes, he is, and he's shown signs of it in the past.
Yeah.
But that one will be baffling for a while here. But maybe another conversation on another day somewhere down the road. But I you're absolutely right. It's perplexing that you wouldn't have found a way to get him more meaningful starts down the stretch and really truly give it a feel of, okay, it was up to grabs in the last 10 games.
Yeah. What's funny is the biggest difference in their play might be their mindset, their general mind frame. You talked about how it's tough to sit there, but this guy has this sort of, he's a unique cat, you know, to stick with it's curtain, see, sort of theme.
Yeah.
He's a unique cat, this kid. He's got an interesting sort of way of thinking. He started 4 games in the postseason in the NHL each time. Yeah. The Leafs were facing elimination. Could have been eliminated. 3-1.
He's
just got to stay healthy.
Yeah. With a 141 goals against and a .950 save percentage.
.950 save percentage, yeah. How about them giving one up with 0.1 seconds last night?
Thank God. Yeah, Nylander scored.
It was goofy. Like even the camera cut away. They went to the Montgomery walking down the bench. Yeah. Everybody was out. There's no goal call on it. It was really strange. And
I guess the game was over either
small,
way.
It's a small, you know, but God, who doesn't want an NHL shutout?
For sure, you do for him. But you know what I like about it is that this Leafs team has spent all years chasing individual records. And even at the end of that broadcast, they're going, his shutout streak's up to an hour and 35 minutes. Just so tired of the individual stuff. Like the Leafs scored, they outscored the Bruins.
Yeah, I know, but we like that.
Put the individual thing away.
That's what people think they want, right? Numbers and stats. And
but that's why I'm glad it's gone. Lines. There's no storyline there now.
Yeah.
Like he just gets to play goal and try to win another hockey game. It can be 10-9. They just need more than them.
All right.
Yeah, shout out to him. Good game. He's back in.
I know. I mentioned Tavares leading the forwards in hits, but the guy that's really leading the charge is a 21-year-old Matthew Nyes.
Yeah. There's shades of him, not to be too complimentary here, maybe overdo it, but like minus the fighting, Tom Wilson, where he's a big body, goes to the net, can score you 20 or 30 a year, can intimidate some people.
He drives.
Like, he can have an element of the game where you're like, that's tough to find and works in the postseason.
Yeah, he drives holes. He drives lanes. He goes to the net as hard as anybody with the stick down. There's no reason why that he should not be able to score 20 goals like that in front of the net. And then maybe if he can work on the overall
game. Put him on the power play at some point, he can get that number up.
I don't know what number that is reachable. To me, he's almost like a Chris Kreider type.
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy.
It took a long time for Chris Kreider to be the Chris Kreider we know him today with the New York Rangers.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll ever score 50 goals like Chris Kreider did, but he's big and strong, drives to the net, and can make a lot of people's lives miserable.
I'd say the slight difference is like Kreider is a straightaway speed guy, and Nyes can make you miss laterally, you know, but otherwise I see the comparable too.
He's just a confident young man right now.
Let's listen to Sheldon Keefe. We got clip 5 here on Matthew Nyes.
So Nyes, I thought was really, really good for us, you know, in that Tampa series last year, coming in and you know, I barely know the guy, and he was tremendous. But I do think it's going to another level here, the confidence that he's shown, the play that he made to send Willie in tonight was just one of the great plays, strong plays he made along the wall. So, yeah, he's been really good in this series and just getting better. So I think for a guy with his skill set and his size, you know, when he gets confident and comfortable in this type of an environment, it's a great thing.
Well, and again, this is his first full year in the National Hockey League, and you think about the number of games that he's played compared to last year. And he's got every excuse in the book to fade, but he's actually getting stronger.
Good sign. And, you know, he seems to have such a good read. He's willing to go forward and dump it in and get after it. But that play he makes to Willie last night is really a sign that he's not just like panic playing.
No, he's not.
Thinking the game.
That was an unbelievable play.
Yeah, he protects the puck with his body.
You know what he has? He has the ability now to pick up the pace of play in the National Hockey League, but yet still have a way to kind of slow the game down a little bit in his mind.
Yeah.
I don't know if you recall, there was a play, I think early in the first or second, where he had the puck in his own zone and he tried to stick handle it out and he lost it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it gives you an understanding, and you know, the right play would have just been to get it out and feel the pressure, but it gives you an understanding of where this guy's mindset is, how calm he is.
I do remember that.
Right?
Yeah.
And now it's finding the right balance on that calmness, on when to hold on to it, when to protect it. To Sheldon's point, like, it's an instinctual move to turn to the boards away from the pressure, protect the puck, and still put it into a place where Willie can skate into it.
In stride.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, great play. Willie with the absolute audacity to go backhand five hole. 1-0 game with the season on the line.
With 20,000
stars.
20,000 mutants soaked in Coors Light staring down at him, breathing on him, just slips at five hole.
Yeah. Against a goalie who's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
So big play there. And quickly, before I know we got to go because Gordon's coming. We got to talk just Austin Matthews. Do you want to do that in the next thing?
You're going to tell me that you shouldn't play Saturday night, right? Don't mess with a good lineup.
No, you know that's not me. I'm not superstitious because I'm.
I mean, yeah, I think you want him to play, but the last two games, I'm like, do I? No, he won't.
You know what? Let's think this further. The Leafs are so good without Morgan Riley. Let's scratch him too.
Don't think it's not a conversation people are having out there.
No way.
Dumbos.
Who's having that?
If your Dumbo friends are having that conversation.
Yeah, that's a shut down the group chat conversation.
Leave the group chat.
What? Yes. No way.
Bingo.
All right, we go to a break?
Yeah, we need a break.
Okay. When we return, Gord Stellick, Stellicktricity in this hour of Leaf Edition. And then at the top of the hour, we welcome in Doug McClain to give us his thoughts on the Leafs, Boston, and what's going on around the National Hockey League. More after these words.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee on our Leaf edition of our show. All right, let's not waste any time. Let's bring him in. Stellicktricity. Gord Stellick, former general manager and one of our favorites. Gordo, I like your shirt today. It almost matches my jacket.
Well, yeah, I saw you on a little bit earlier. I ran upstairs and, you know, it's the sincerest form of flattery, Kipper.
Attaboy. Okay, so what do you make of this week? Give us your bird's eye view of what you witnessed from the beginning of the week to game seven.
Okay, well, I witnessed what everybody did, what the hell happened on Saturday, why they didn't show up. It was reminiscent of after the first round last year, not showing up the first three games against the Florida Panthers. Seen that script, seen that tune far too often. Was expecting that if they lost game five, but I mean, who knows? It would have to be the end of a lot of things. Right now, Kipper and Justin, I'm looking at the 2004 Boston Red Sox coming back 0-3 games down to the New York Yankees, winning four, winning the World Series, first time in 86 years, eradicating the curse of the Bambino Babe Ruth, and now the Toronto Maple Leafs have that opportunity to replicate what the Boston Red Sox did 20 years ago, because the Leaf fans are long-suffering fans like the Red Sox fans were. How about that?
Wow.
Is that... Are you guaranteeing that? Mark Messier-type guarantee?
Well, I told you, I'm broke already from my other bets, so I really got no money to... I don't have any money to guarantee, but I'm telling you, this is what this opportunity, way best-case scenario, and I'm not totally out of my mind, but I'm saying way best-case scenario has become.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you got to slay that dragon. Washington had to beat Pittsburgh. This would be very poetic. So the stage is set. The Leafs have fallen short once they've set that stage in the past. One of the reasons they have is they haven't scored on the power play. Gord, I don't even know the direction to go aside from Gord, the power play.
Boy, I hate to be all those assistant coaches get screwed now. But if you're the pitching coach or hitting coach in baseball and one goes south, if you're the offensive or defensive coordinator or a football team and man, oh man, like it's, no question. I mean, Justin, let's face it. It's not that big stretch isn't going to happen anymore, not scoring more than two goals and not scoring on the power play. So special teams and goaltending bigger in the playoffs. Goaltending has come up really big. If Austin Matthews can play, I mean, the power play was struggling with him as well. So I don't know what tweak can be left. I mean, it did have its moments where it was going, but the fact is, you know, you break it down a lot better than I do. It's not even really close. It's not even like they're getting glorious chances. So you're 100% right. Okay, this big vision included the power play, getting their bleep together. And I don't know how they do it, but they got about eight assistant coaches. Let them figure it out.
Just in terms of where we are at this moment, a lot of people just still absorbing the win last night. But you know the conversation is going to kind of push towards, where's Austin Matthews? Can he play Saturday night? If so, how much? And the power play so bad, even him on the bench to play in a power play scenario, is it worth it to have that discussion, Gord? That's how bad the power play is. You'll take an Austin at 50% now?
Well, you know, it's funny. You remember Zdeno Chara went back on the bench in the final just to, with a broken jaw, and the Boston Bruins just to inspire that team. And, you know, it's not like Austin Matthews has been absent. He's one reason they're still playing game seven, because he's the reason they won that first game, number two. So if it was doable that he could play and be a power play specialist, then I 100%. I mean, this notion about, you know, they're a better the record. They have great records without their big guns in the lineup, but you still want them in. But I think, Kipper, and you've been there, that it's proved that, okay, we have won without him. Guys have stepped up. Everyone stepped up. Mitch Marner stepped up. Most importantly, Max Domi stepped up. John Tavares. I mean, all these things. So if he's not there, they played without him. They play without Nylander. That's the way it could be. But if he could play legitimately, if he legitimately could play even the power play only, that's something I would really look at. That's something I'd want.
You know, I love you both, but I have to push back against this concept that a guy could come play the power play only. Has it ever happened in the history of the league? If you're good enough to be in the game, you play. And it's not like the power play mindset
You don't take a beating on the power play.
But see, this is the mindset that gets the power play in trouble. There's puck battles. You still got to work. You got to fight for pucks and skate back. And see, this is
him,
the problem.
Him and Ovi, no, just sit there and wait for the puck to come to you.
It's never happened where you've had a guy and just parked him on the power play and said, take one-timers. Everyone else will fight for the puck.
All right. So Nick Robertson, you stay in.
Yeah. So, yes.
Well,
Go ahead, Justin.
It's different if the power play got going in his absence. That'd be different if the last couple of games they got going. And I see what you're saying. And you know what? If he ends up coming back for game seven, I'm sure it morphs into other shifts. Yeah, you're not talking
about play 24 minutes
going out there. Yeah, with a cane or something like that and playing on the power. Gordon. Okay, so I'm going to draw the line at something.
Can you take – you got a better memory than me. What was the scenario in the playoffs with Matt Sundin? Was he out? He came back in. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Kipper, everyone's got a better memory than you, okay, for starters. I don't take that as a compliment, but that was the ultimate absurd playoff, that they're going against Carolina down to the final four, and Sundin was out. I mean, you know, they had Carl Pilash playing on defense as well. They had, you know, all these other names of guys that, you know, hadn't journeyman players, and they started going, if they're a better team without Matt Sundin. No, they never were. The fact they won without Matt Sundin was a credit. And the other thing, Kip, because, you know, we were doing the games back then or in or around back then, and Justin, that they've got to the Final Four. I know I brought up this point before, but every Final Four they've got up to in the Burns and Quinn era, they were better than the other team. They were the LA Kings one year, the Vancouver Canucks in 94. That year you're talking about the Carolina Hurricanes in the Final Four, the Buffalo Sabres in the Final Four. I mean, you know, they had made strides, and then they didn't run into a juggernaut heavyweight that eliminated them. So that's why it's not 55 years of not winning a Stanley Cup. It's 55 years not even being in a Stanley Cup final. And that's why I think when I talk about my best case scenario, that it's almost going to take something unusual to get them there.
So one important distinction I don't think I've heard drawn many places is that when the Leafs have mind blown, when they've lost in Game 7, elimination games to teams, they lost to the Boston Bruins, who went on to go to the Stanley Cup final, I believe, the last time they played them. The Tampa Bay Lightning, they lose Game 7. Tampa Bay went on to win the Stanley Cup. I think those were good teams. This is the first time I remember them going. Actually, Montreal, too, beats them in 7. They went to the Cup final. This is the first time I remember them going up against a team who kind of in disarray, Gord. Like, they're not going to the Stanley Cup final, this Boston Bruins team. Full stop. It is not happening. So do you feel better about their chances based on opponent?
Oh, come on. The Columbus-Montreal series, you could never feel better than that. Come on.
No doubt about it.
Hand it on.
No doubt.
Good point.
Yeah, that's...
Pierre-Luc Dubois, they're talking about buying him out in L.A. He was the Conn Smythe Trophy winner for Columbus that one series. What, you know, whatever could go wrong.
But those
wrong.
Teams felt so, good, no, Gord. That Montreal team was happy to push it to 7. They were feeling good about themselves.
Well, they were up 3-1. they weren't happy. Like they should have closed it out. They had that monster year in the regular season. So the point is, I agree. It's not like the opposing presence of Zdeno Chara was huge. I think bigger than Bergeron, Krejci, whatever. Yeah. But you're right. Those guys aren't there. Jeremy Swayman, those picked up from Tuukka Rask. So now the Leafs are able to counter with Joe Wall. Samsonov had been fine, but he was getting out goaltended. So, you know, and Justin, it's so weird, those games that guys like one game, Jake Gardner had his worst game as a Leaf. One game, Freddie Anderson had his worst game as a Leaf. And early on, you know, we don't look at it enough that Mike Babcock had outcoached. You know, they had to do it the Babcock way. He didn't let the big guns be the big guns. He had to put Thomas Plekanec in his turtleneck out there 28 minutes or something like that, you know, because you got to earn your time there. You know what? He screwed up. Their time was there. That was a good opportunity, an opportunity wasted. And he flew to Phoenix to try to appease Austin. And everyone's just saying, why the hell didn't you play him more? Why didn't you see what's going on the ice?
We're talking to Gord Stellick, Toronto Maple Leaf analyst for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, former general manager. So we were just briefly discussing this earlier. Is the losing coach Saturday night going to lose his job?
Good chance. Unbelievable. Jim Montgomery's in that realm. Yeah. Like, really unbelievable. But, hey, we're talking the first time in, I believe, history of any team sport, North American team sport, to two consecutive years have a 3-1 lead and blow it. It is unparalleled carnage out there. The NHL coaches just littered across the highway. It was like 5 years ago, there was not a single in-season coaching change made for 32 teams. Wow. And now, boom, just going, you know? Like Seattle, the players should be pissed at themselves. They factored in the coach being moved from there, even though Ron Francis says that's not the case. So And Kippy, I'm not after any coach's job. I know you guys aren't either. I think there's so many positives.
You make a hell of a coach.
Underrated in a lot of ways, but I think that is just the reality, the very likely reality for one of these teams.
You'd make a great coach.
All right, dynamite. Well, North Toronto, I got it out there, you know, double A, way back when, you know. It's all coaching. It wasn't the kids. Imagine idiots that think that as parents, that it's all coaching.
I know.
Not the kids.
Yeah. You know, there's some unsung heroes having great series for this Maple Leafs team. We talked earlier about Matthew Nyes. I kind of mentioned passing that I thought Yarncroc's been effective as a forecheck or whatever. But Max Domi's emergence as a legitimate threat, a creator out there. He made such a great play to get McCabe a puck at one point. He's skating. He looks like a different player to me than he did earlier in the season. How integral has his success been for the Leafs?
Oh, huge, because he's filling that void. You know, first, let's go back about some of that. You said Matthew Nyes. And this is where the Kyle Dubas leaping the draft cupboard bear. Second-round pick, Matthew Nyes. Third-round pick, Joe Wall. Guess who's making entry-level money again next year? Those two guys. Yeah. Great if Easton Cowan gets a big award there in the OHL. So, I mean, that's why it wasn't a smart, astute strategy to totally go for it all the time. Not only did you not get it, but you passed up the chance for these players to grow, develop, and also use the entry-level salary. Max Domi, I remember they tried him at center a few weeks ago. He's done a lot of different things. Him and Bertuzzi really seemed to find their way at the halfway point of the season. What was he, 10-0 at faceoffs in the first period that game in Boston? Like, I mean, you talk about a real statement, because your first thing is, we're screwed without Austin Matthews. He goes out and play with the way he did. So you're right about, and Lyubushkin and Edmondson at the trade deadline. Look at the minutes last night. Six defensemen with relatively even minutes. So it's just about almost like an orchestra. The team has really got in sync these last two games. The first win, it was a good team effort, but it was Austin Matthews' game. Last two, all these other components have come in. And I don't know how much psychologically it's when you don't have a star player. I mean, guys try all the time. So it's not like they weren't trying before, but it just has borne the kind of fruit to get these two very different, unusual wins that's not the Leaf style, but at the most critical time of the year, they've come up with two of them.
Not to derail all this energy, but there's a but here. I'll go to you, Gord, first. Any loss at all throws it right back to where it was at the beginning of the week. Is there a chance that that this Leaf Nation or the media can take anything out of the last two games or an amazing effort in a loss Saturday night? Or is this the fork in the road tomorrow night where you move on and all is forgiven? If not, we're back to square one.
So, yes. Yeah. I'm not like this does not save or salvage the season. This saves it being a credible disaster. But no, continually, whether it's a seventh game in that, not getting out of the playoffs, forget it. Not good enough. Whatever it may be. And that's, so I'm 100% on side of, I know Brendan Shannon's always said it's not the sexy thing, but you can't keep going back year after year after year. That's why I think this is just such a great opportunity to get to that next level and hopefully run with it. I mean, Joel Quenneville, coaching the Chicago Blackhawks, talked about this team 7 years ago that he saw similarities to when Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and company started in Chicago. Look at the success they had. Well, guess what? That team's now the Florida Panthers. That's not even the team in their own division anymore. And that's where they're looking at being a kind of back to maybe a Midland team, and that's not what you want to be. So, I think it does. I'm not saying that's the air of the balloon. It's just the reality. It's just the reality. That's why this Game 7 is so important.
The ultimate reality test, Game 7 tomorrow night in Boston. Gordo, enjoy it, my friend. Thanks for doing this.
I will do that. You take care. You take care, Justin, as well, okay?
Thanks, Gordo. Appreciate it, bud.
That is Gord Stellick. Okay, just to pick up on that a little bit here. Earlier this week, I wrote an article for the Toronto Star. You can find it on my Real Kipper account. I threw in some hypotheticals, okay? And I'll just, I don't know if we discussed this, but a lot of talk earlier this week. Who needs to be fired? Who needs to go? Where is the cut line for you guys? Where Brendan, Sheldon, Brad Tree Living continue the vision moving forward and they get to go on? Is it Stanley Cup or bust? Is it conference final? Is it a good run against Florida in the next round?
Yeah.
Is it just simply getting through Game 7 tomorrow night?
That is $1 million question.
Oh, it's a lot more than a million. This is many millions at stake for sure.
Cut line, boys. Give it to me.
I think hard fought 7-game series against the Florida Panthers in the second round, regardless of result, would do it.
It's a really good question, and I do think how it looks matters for sure. I'm with you on one thing. If you lose Game 7 in this round, bye-bye. None of this has mattered.
Bye-bye.
It hasn't mattered. You know, you've shown us close. You've battled back. I actually think they battled back down 3-1 to the Bruins in a previous series before losing Game 7.
Correct.
You know, so we've seen this. But past that, better showing in round 2. Progress. Can I give you progress?
Well, listen, go 6 or 7 games against Florida, and that's progress.
If they're 6 or 7 games and they look like they're a better team, it depends who you're talking about, too. Like, if you're talking about the players, I don't know that it would be... Would you go back to the same core, watching them lose? And
we'll talk Monday.
Okay.
We'll talk Monday.
Conference final for me.
Conference final. Yeah. They got to get to the conference final, and then everyone can come back. This is like they won another round.
6 or 7 years in the making to not just get past the third round. They need to compete first. This is the window of the Stanley Cup now.
You're right.
That's fair.
And the conference final, think how great that is. That's a lot of time where you're in the playoffs. You're weeks from now, 3 weeks from now maybe, where the city has been excited. There's energy. There's hockey night in Canada for weeks to come. It's given the people what they want.
A lot of good coaching decisions between now and that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So give the people what they want.
There's momentum building for them. We'll see if they can close it out, at least to get through the first round Saturday night.
Think Sportsnet likes that they're getting a Game 7 Hockey Night in Canada Saturday night, Boston Bruins Leafs?
Probably like that.
Do you hear that? Do you hear that? That's the sales department doing back flips right now. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Quick note. Monday will be Game 1. Between the Bruins and Panthers, or Leafs and Panthers.
Plenty of time to recoup.
Oh, my God.
Matthews would be good as gold by then.
That's a scheduled L if I've ever seen one.
Oh. All right. We're just getting warmed up here on Off the Rails Friday. When we come back, Doug McClain, Toronto, Boston, Vancouver. Plenty to get into with Doug McClain. Don't go away. That's an order.